Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Yes, and welcome to the podcast where we teach you everything about pop culture. Now, She-Hulk Attorney at Law is coming to our television screens on August 17th, 2022, or it's already been on your, you know, television screens
for years and years and years.
If you're listening to us in the year 2030 and you're just like, God, stop telling me about this stuff, old people. But, you know, we recorded an episode on She-Hulk a long time ago, Ashley, back in the second year of Geek History Lesson, correct?
Yeah, 2015, baby.
Back in the olden days of Geek History Lesson, when we could still climb up them stairs.
Back when Jason and I were 9 years old recording a podcast.
We were 9 years old back then?
Yeah, we're only 14 right now.
Okay, sure.
The most industrious children.
If anybody wants to give me a Tamagotchi, I'd be down. So let's go for it.
All right.
So we recorded that episode way back in the day, you know, previous mics, previous studios, but it still has a lot of good information in it that we think is amazing and we think will be a really good primer for the She-Hulk Attorney at Law series. So we hope you enjoy it. I believe Ashley taught it.
I did.
And I believe she also hulks out during the recording. So
that's why we had to move studios.
We did. She tore it down. And, you know, I don't know if you know this about Hulk energy, but it can come out through headphones. So be careful. She might just come out of the earphones and wrangle your neck.
Yeah. When I Hulk out, I get to a respectable 5'7" in height.
Yes. Respectable 5'7".
Yeah.
Respectable. So please enjoy this and have some fun before you watch She-Hulk Attorney at Law on Disney Plus very soon. And now enjoy past Jason and past Ashley.
I can't wait. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason the Jolly Green Giant Inman. Hello and welcome to your Mind University, because you have just pressed play on a podcast that you can listen to that is about teaching you about a pop culture character, thing, person, place, or being that we will tell you all about. And this week, we are going to tell you all about who, Ashley?
We are going to tell you all about Jennifer Walters, a.k.a. the She-Hulk.
That's a strong name, Jennifer Walters.
Well, she's a strong lady.
Well, I believe it. She is part Hulk.
Yeah.
So let's just drop right into this. She-Hulk, of course, is very important right now because she just had a great solo series. She's in the middle of this Marvel Secret
War.
She's
leading A-Force.
Oh, there you go. She's leading A-Force. So let's just jump right into this lesson. We're going to learn all about the cousin of the Incredible Hulk.
Spoiler.
She-Hulk.
Yes. So we're going to talk to you right now in the part of the podcast that we call the Tencent Origin.
I completely bungled that completely. The gamma rays have just killed my brain.
It's not gamma rays, it's a blood transfusion. But Jason, what is the Tencent Origin?
The Tencent Origin is the part where one of us, that preferably doesn't forget how this podcast works, tells you all the basic facts and tenets of a character so that you can go to a sexy San Diego-themed type cocktail party.
San Diego-themed, eh?
Yeah. Because, you know, there are certain events that take place there.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah, and you can tell people all about She-Hulk.
Yeah. So the Tencent origin of Jennifer Walters, a.k.a. She-Hulk. She is the cousin of Bruce Banner on her mother's side.
Okay.
Her mother's maiden name is Banner. She first appeared in The Savage She-Hulk number one.
That's awesome.
In February of 1980, which makes her a younger character than I thought she was. She was created by the venerable...
She's as old as my older sister.
Cool. I don't have anyone in my family that I know that she's as old.
There you
as.
Go.
I'm
Keep
sorry.
Going.
She was. Is your sister the Savage She-Hulk?
Maybe. Sometimes
she. We can only hope.
Sometimes she is. I will say I've never seen them in the same place.
Oh.
So.
She was created by Stan Lee and Sal Buscema, both venerable creators.
Wow.
And interesting fact.
Okay.
She was the last character Stan Lee created for Marvel.
Really?
Yes.
That
which I think is fucking fascinating.
That is really fascinating. Yeah. Wow, okay.
So the more you know.
Yeah.
Her team affiliations include Ancient Order of the Shield, Avengers, Defenders, Fantastic Four, Fantastic Force, Fearsome Four, Future Foundation, Goodman, Lieber, Kurtzberg, and Holloway, Heroes for Hire, The Initiative, Lady Liberators, Mighty Avengers, S.H.I.E.L.D., Hulkbusters, and most recently, A-Force.
Did you say Future Foundation?
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
Yes, in my she's on like four different teams that are Yeah, that's a, she's great in that series.
Yep, totally.
Her abilities include highly skilled lawyer.
I think that's funny. Sorry.
Stop
that's
it.
That's not funny, but it's like as a skill.
Don't
it's like,
belittle it's like, female lawyers, I'm, bro.
No, she's probably out lawyered Matt Murdock's pants off, but that was not a sexual pun intended.
We
at
know
all.
We all listeners of this podcast know that you slut shame Matt Murdock on a regular basis.
I just think it's funny that her tactical, like her
yeah.
abilities are like, what was it again?
Highly skilled lawyer.
Highly skilled lawyer. See, that sounds she's like a highly skilled lawyer sounds like a sitcom.
Okay.
Highly skilled lawyer.
Well, wait till you hear the name of Dan Slott's run.
All right.
It sounds like a sitcom.
All right.
So she's a highly skilled lawyer. She's a formidable hand-to-hand combatant. She's a skilled pilot,
yep.
I guess.
Yes, she is.
She has superhuman strength, speed, agility, stamina, and durability. She has regenerative healing factor.
Yep.
Emotional empowerment. I don't know what that
means. I don't know either.
Sounds really feminist.
I just go on.
Power switching. I don't know what that means.
Let's move on.
And the ability to break the fourth wall. I do know what that means, but I'm a little surprised by it.
Mainly in one run, though.
Yes.
It's okay,
in one
it.
Of her older yeah, runs. Yeah. We're not going to talk about it, but it's
okay,
supposed
well,
to be
it's,
important.
It's not that important.
Let's move on to the Meet Cute.
The Meet Cute is the section of the podcast where we tell you where we first encountered said character.
Yes.
They stole this term from a romantic comedy.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask me where I first met them?
Sure, Ashley. Where did you first meet cute She-Hulk?
Well, this is going to betray my age a little bit and my comic reading habits. I first met her in Civil War.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What do you remember from that? What made her stand out?
She was green and gigantic.
And you were like, who is this girl that's green and gigantic?
And then they called her She-Hulk. And I was like, for fucking real, there's a She-Hulk?
Wow.
That's stupid.
The children are gone from this podcast.
Look, She-Hulk is going to become a really sexy character really fast.
All right.
So the children shouldn't be here.
See you on back, children.
They can come later when Dan Slott takes over.
All right.
But a little bit of what happens in Civil War. Civil War. She registers. Well, she's pro-registration.
Yeah. Okay. We'll explain what Civil War is later on.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was. She's a lawyer in it, and she does lawyer things, and that was cool.
Yeah.
So right. Yeah, this is the first time I met her. Where did you first meet Jennifer Walters?
She-Hulk is another one of those characters that I kind of think that I'd always sort of known about.
Yeah.
But the first time that she really stands out is there is a writer called Peter David.
Yes.
And he did an insanely long run on The Incredible Hulk,
mm-hmm.
the title called The Incredible Hulk. And most people consider his run to be the definitive run on The Incredible Hulk because it's really tough to write a good Hulk story. And I think pulled it off. And I remember this certain issue. I cannot tell you what it was because the only Incredible Hulk issues I read when I was a kid was just random ones that I'd get as random gifts that people would give me because you had to go to pawn shops and they'd be like, oh, it's 25 cents for a whole pile. There you go.
Yeah.
There was one where the Hulk and Doc Samson, who is the Hulk psychiatrist with green hair.
We will talk about him very briefly.
She-Hulk were in it. And that was the first time I was like, oh, She-Hulk, what? You know, and he called her his cousin. This is when the Hulk was like intelligent and he could talk.
Yes.
So.
Which was kind of weird.
I like Crazy Savage Hulk.
Yeah.
That's my best Hulk.
Me too.
All right, now we're going to move on to the History 101 of the main meet where we're going to tell you everything you need to know about She-Hulk. Or Ashley, Professor Ashley.
Professor Ashley.
Starts her lesson. She'll sit down and shut up, students.
Yeah.
Before she rages.
Fun. Yeah, it could happen.
All right.
Fun fact before we get into the character history. Her creation was inspired by the success of the Incredible Hulk and Bionic Woman TV shows. So she's literally supposed to be an amalgamation of the two.
So she's an amalgamation of the Bionic Woman.
Yeah. And the Incredible Hulk. So I think that's fairly telling. And it was also because this was during the same time when Spider-Woman was first created, which you can go back and listen to our episode on Jessica Drew.
Yep.
Not all that long ago. And Marvel was scooping up a lot of names just so that DC wouldn't make a character with that name.
So they thought that DC would actually make a character called She-Hulk?
I guess. Somebody did.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they named it that. And so let's go right into her character history. She grew up in a small town and was a short and shy daughter of Elaine Banner. So that's, you know, that's her mom. And a Los Angeles County sheriff William Morris Walters. So she is an LA native. She is right from our neck of the woods.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. That's kind of nice that she's not a New York-based hero.
I mean, she is when she becomes a hero.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But she is an LA native. So fun fact, right from our studio. Her mother died when she was 17.
Oh.
And
Jennifer.
Yeah. Her mom's name was Elaine.
Elaine.
Yeah. Elaine Banner Bennett.
I was going to say Bennis. Yeah. Elaine Bennis.
I wish.
Yep.
So her mom died when she was 17, and her father was hunting down a character named Nicholas Trask.
Relation to X-Men character Trask?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but that's really all you need to know.
Okay.
Bad guy, Trask family.
Well, we're talking about is Bolivar Trask was the creator of the Sentinels, played by Peter Dinklage in X-Men
Possibly,
Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
So he is a member of that family.
Yes.
Got it.
I don't exactly know how they're related.
Well, it doesn't
matter. This isn't the Nicholas Trask episode. And so her father was tracking him down. They kind of had this rivalry thing going. And Nicholas Trask sent a bunch of operatives to kill Jennifer.
Why?
Because he's a bad guy.
Okay.
I have no idea. I don't know. He was a bad guy. Okay. I don't have enough money to buy Savage She-Hulk number one.
I know. It's
so this
tough.
Is research based.
All right. Stanley, just go with it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So Jennifer was left shot and seriously wounded after her encounter with these operatives.
No.
And that's the lesson on She-Hulk. So see you next week.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Just kidding. Luckily, her cousin Bruce Banner was in town.
Oh, luckily.
Yep.
As he was hitchhiking across the country, hiding from the law as the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, with the sad music playing in the background.
We played more, but we'd be sued.
Yeah, probably. Yep. and he was the only one who was a blood type match for her. And she needed a blood transfusion, right? Her dad wasn't.
How convenient.
Yes. So Bruce's radioactive blood and DNA, combined with her anger at being attacked, transformed Jennifer into the She-Hulk. And when these gangster guys showed back up to finish her off, she beat the shit out of them. And hulked out for the first time in this hospital. She was quite young when she became a hero. Mm-hmm. It was also made explicit in her first series that Jennifer's powers were not on the same level as her Hulk. She was as her Hulk cousin. Yeah, so she
you
was
call him her Hulk cousin.
Her Hulk cousin.
Yep.
So right from the get go, we're already inherently making this female character who's an adaptation of a classic Marvel character less powerful. Thanks, Stanley.
Well, okay, let me play, and I don't agree. I'm not saying that you're wrong. Let me play devil's advocate here.
Absolutely.
Okay, devil's advocate. Couldn't it have sort of been science-y because, like...
Because she wasn't directly affected by the gamma rays.
Exactly. She wasn't hit by the original source. She received it secondary.
It could.
And I totally see your viewpoint.
Yeah.
I totally do. And I think it's very... I think you're 100% right and valid. But I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good in continuity.
In story.
That I had not thought about.
In story. Yeah, she's receiving it from a second source.
Yeah. Just, look at us having a mature discussion.
Yes. Yeah. It can be done, Internet. It can be done.
Yes.
But you're probably right.
Yes, but her being less powerful is also given as the explanation for why she looks more human and more attractive.
Does.
Yeah, because
she never rages out like him.
She does. She has like fits of rage, and originally she has her human form and she has the green She-Hulk form.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, and it changes and she becomes green and then she goes back and
does she become gray?
No. This is the 80s, man.
All right.
So the fact that she's already, like, she's this very sexy Amazonian kind of character. She's already being sexualized.
All right.
In her first run.
All right. Thank you.
Thank
you, Stan Lee.
Much. And during that first run, it is also put out there that the reason that she transforms into this Amazonian, this very sexy woman with big hair, is that it represents a subconscious desire to look like the ideal woman. So, Savage She-Hulk, not a feminist book.
What?
Yeah. Just comics.
Oh, man.
And the reason that I'm kind of dragging up all this stuff about like feminism and the female perspective is because... later on,
because
she goes through a
valid.
Really it is, but later on she goes through a very big change, and I think it's worth pointing out where she comes from and where she goes to.
Oh, okay, so there's a change.
There,
in the horizon.
There is one run that we will get to, and there's a big shift, and I think it's important just to mention that now. I'm not just like shitting on this run for
listeners,
no reason.
This is like the first act of a movie. You need the setup to learn who the characters are before like your paw gets killed taking a criminal to the train.
Yeah,
that's a reference. See if you can tell me on Twitter what it is.
I was almost gonna ruin it.
Don't ruin it.
Okay. At Joan, JWIAN. Yeah. Eventually, Jennifer gains control of herself and her transformations. with the help of Michael Morbius, the
living vampire from Spider-Man.
Yes. Ah. So she contracts a blood disease, and
he's basically like a. I'm just gonna explain.
Oh, please, please.
He's basically a pseudo vampire with white skin. He's the original reason why Spider-Man gets six arms for a while. Like,
oh
Spider-Man
my God.
Has a story where he gets six arms.
Yeah, it's freaks me out.
It's because of Morbius.
6-year-old me was. Freaking terrified.
That's
of that.
Probably, to be honest with you, too. There's that original Fox Spider-Man, the animated series.
That's the best arc of it.
Exactly. That is
bar none.
The Peter getting six arms is probably the best episode of that entire series.
Yep. Gave me nightmares. Mm-hmm. So Jennifer, right around the time that she is able to control her transformation, she contracts this blood disease and Morbius helps her get over it.
Oh, thank you, Morbius.
And because of that, she's able to keep controlling them, and that's really good. And as a result, and as a thank you, Jennifer goes on to defend Morbius when he's tried by the city of New York, the state of New York probably, for a string of vampiric murders that he is responsible for. And this will also start a trend of Jennifer defending heroes and villains that she encounters in her life and identity as She-Hulk.
Interesting.
Yeah, so she's a lawyer, so you know it happens.
Uh-huh.
During the initial Savage She-Hulk, that's really hard to say.
Savage She-Hulk, got it.
Stop it. During that series, Jennifer also elects to retain her She-Hulk form permanently towards the end of it.
Oh, okay. So,
she makes the choice.
She can make the choice. Interesting.
At this point.
What's coming?
So originally she just changes, and then she gets control over it, and then she's like, you know what? I'm going to stay the Savage She-Hulk because I prefer it to my, quote, fragile, normal form. So she's stronger, she's sexier. By the end of this first run, she's the green, tall glass of water that everyone, you know, that you think of when you think of She-Hulk.
Yeah, like the 7-foot tall She-Hulk.
Yeah, in heels. She's always wearing heels, even though she's a giant, which makes no sense to me.
Yeah, how do those heels support that weight? I don't know.
I bet she buys them from the same store that drag queens shop at. That's
my
hypothesis.
Unless the heels are made of unstable molecules.
Or adamantium.
There you go.
There. Nailed it.
Solved it. Moving on.
Her next appearance following the Savage She-Hulk series brings her on as a member of the Avengers, and she's immediately transported to Battleworld by the Beyonder and is part of the original Secret Wars series.
We're
already in 1984.
This sounds familiar.
I know, and I'm not going to talk too much about Secret Wars, because if you go back to our previous episode...
Just last week,
we did a review of the original series, and we talked a little bit about She-Hulk.
We did a review of Secret Wars. If you want to know everything about it, go back and listen to that last week's episode.
Yes.
Yep.
And the biggest... She-Hulk is not a huge part of this run. She's a very new character. She's a new Avenger. The biggest thing and the most important thing that happens in Secret Wars, as far as she is concerned, is that it establishes her longstanding rivalry with Titania. Mm-hmm. And Titania is this villainess that Doom creates during the run of Secret Wars, who's also very physically strong, but she names herself after the Fairy Queen from Midsummer Night's Dream.
She's not a great character. I'm sorry. If you love Titania out there, is not a great character.
No, but she's physically strong, so they're obvious foils for each other.
Yep.
So that's the most important thing. And then they beat the shit out of her when she's unconscious, which I'm not okay with.
All right.
Following Secret Wars, Jennifer briefly replaces the Thing as the fourth member of the Fantastic Four.
Yes. Yes.
If you want to say anything about it, say it now.
Well, it's not very brief. It's for at least a year.
Well, but I mean, in her entire publication history, that is fairly brief.
Yeah, yeah. To be honest with you, I think She-Hulk is one of the best members of the Fantastic Four.
Really?
And here's the thing.
I'm pleasantly surprised by that.
I think She-Hulk is the best replacement member of the Fantastic Four.
More than Spidey?
More than Spidey. Spidey?
Them's fighting words.
Well, here's the thing.
I've never read this.
Well, here's the thing.
Sorry.
Technically, Spider-Man has never been a part of the Fantastic Four.
Oh, only the Future Foundation?
He's been a part of the Future Foundation. He was the quote-unquote replacement FF, which is that famous cover where it's him, Wolverine, Ghost Rider, and Mr. Fix-It Hulk hopping another.
Yeah.
But that's not really official. They were just sort of like, oh, we are the Fantastic Four. Like, Reed Richards didn't, like, anoint them.
Yeah.
I think She-Hulk is the best. If you can't have the original four,
if you have to take someone away,
She-Hulk.
Cool.
Yeah, the John Byrne issues with her in it, great. So good.
This is also an idea that Matt Fraction reintroduces and expands in his Fantastic Four run as part of All New Marvel Now in 2012.
Oh, by the way, too.
By the way.
I remembered a funny John Byrne She-Hulk storyline. Now, I'm going to be paraphrasing this, but one of those old storylines in his run is that she is out on a sunroof of the Baxter Building or a hotel, I can't remember specifically, and a reporter is able to get pictures of her sunbathing topless.
Yeah, yeah.
And they make it to print, and if I remember right, now I'm probably remembering this completely wrong, and people will please correct me, whatever. If I remember right, they get published, but like it's kind of like the thing that happened in the original Star Trek, where they filmed the Orion, and the film people were like, "This is wrong," and they colored them.
Yeah.
So
nobody knows it's
they
her.
Get published, and they tint her color. And then nobody knows it's her.
That's weird. I'm not okay with that. More sexualizing in Jennifer Walters.
Yep.
And in the Matt Fraction run, like I said, he expands on this idea. Like, he makes her the leader of the Fantastic Four, and she also takes on leadership of the Future Foundation. But we'll talk more about that later.
I thought it was Scott Lang.
Oh, it is Scott Lang. But she is the leader of the Future Foundation. Okay. And Scott's the leader of Fantastic Four. Oops. As a member of the Fantastic Four, Jennifer is responsible for saving the S.H.I.E.L.D.
Now who's sexualizing She-Hulk?
Okay. She's cute. I'd kiss your face.
Yep.
She saves the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier from a lethal radiation leak because she's very strong and she's
radiation doesn't bother.
Quote unquote, invulnerable to radiation.
Yeah, totally. Uh-huh.
But her exposure to it renders her incapable of returning to her human form. Now, she's already wearing the green form, but now she doesn't have the opportunity to go back.
She's stuck.
They've put sealant on her. She can't shrink back up again.
You know,
but it's okay. She's pretty happy about this because she always preferred being She-Hulk.
Of course.
So there's basically no consequences.
Who wouldn't? I would love to be the She-Jason.
She-Jason?
Let's just go with that. You know?
The Shason?
Yeah, the Shason.
That's really weird.
I'll just go with it. The Savage Shason.
The Savage Shason. Blah, 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 blah. So right now we're up to about 1989 in publication history.
Oh, good year.
And she gets her second solo series called The Sensational She-Hulk.
Man, these S adjectives here.
I know, they're killing me. They're killing me right now this week. And this was contributed to by John Byrne, Steve Gerber, Simon Furman, and Peter David.
Steve Gerber is a name that you should know if you remember a Howard the Duck episode that we've done.
That you can go back and listen to.
Yep, Steve Gerber, the creator of Howard the Duck.
Yes.
Great writer.
And this series ran for 60 issues, which is pretty
good. Wow, that's substantial.
Yeah.
At least 6 years.
Yeah, so into the 90s. Following her time on the Fantastic Four, Jennifer rejoins the Avengers. She's kind of going to do a Hawkeye Clint Barton thing here. She's going to join the Avengers, leave the Avengers, join the Avengers, leave the Avengers, join this Avengers pseudo team, leave the Avengers pseudo team. So prepare yourselves for that. She also became the district attorney. And she, during the 60s...
Of New York? Or LA?
Of New York, an assistant district.
Got it.
Yeah. And during this time, she basically has a bunch of one-off villain of the week type adventures.
Okay.
Other than those 2 points I just mentioned, not a lot of consequence happens.
Well, a lot of people...
But...
Okay.
It's also during this time that she does some legal work for Heroes for Hire and briefly dates Luke Cage. And that's what leads her to becoming a member of the Defenders.
Oh, yeah. Luke, of the Defenders. It's also like that run is kind of lauded as the definite She-Hulk run.
It is. And the reason that I say that it doesn't have a lot of consequences is because not a lot of those Monster of the Week, Villain of the Week stories carry forward into her history.
Style of the time.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
But it is considered to be...
The
classic She-Hulk run.
Totally.
So worth checking out if you can deal with older style.
Yeah, I'm sure you can find it all in Comixology.
Probably. It's probably not in print.
Yep.
But what do I know?
Nope.
Following this, she rejoins the event because she was on the Defenders, left the Avengers. Now she's back on the Avengers.
Hey, you got to keep your options open. It's like playing
the NBA.
I
freaking guess so.
You got to do it. You know, sometimes Utah Jazz is the great place to be. Sometimes it's the Knicks. We all don't know.
I don't understand that reference.
Yep.
And during that
Utah
time,
does.
Hello, Utah. If you're from Utah, say hello to us on Facebook.com. Yep. Geek History Lesson.
Yep.
She rejoins the Avengers along with a character named Jack of Hearts.
Oh, I know Jack of Hearts. Yeah.
The main thing you need to know about Jack of Hearts for the sake of this podcast, because again, not the Jack of Hearts lesson, he can absorb any radiation or residual energy around him. And because of this, he's absorbing the gamma radiations that are sort of residual on her. I don't know how she's not giving everyone cancer around her if she's giving off freaking gamma rays.
True. And you have to think about, too, like, if she gives off gamma rays, how much has the Hulk gave off gamma rays?
Yeah. But as a result of him absorbing this, it destabilizes her and she's no longer able to control her transformations. So she starts transforming again.
Is this
or her temper?
Is this the story where she starts going super crazy and starts beating and like tearing apart people and
becomes
Okay.
So go ahead.
Do you know who wrote this?
I don't know who wrote this.
This is written by a person that most people would probably be blown away that they ever wrote for Marvel. this storyline, and I believe now, I might be wrong on this. I don't know much about Jack of Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jack of Hearts was also created by this writer. I could be completely wrong on that. All coming from memory. Jeff Johns was the...
No way.
Jeff Johns did a run on the Avengers right when he was becoming big
in DC. Yeah.
And he did this run. This is his story.
Oh, well.
Yes.
Now I know.
Because he did the last run right before Avengers disassembled.
Yeah. Oh.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. It's Jeff Johns.
So during this time, right, she can't control the transformations or her temper. In a fit of anger, she tears the Vision in half.
Yes, she does.
And then something really weird happens, and it turns out that the Scarlet Witch was kind of behind this whole mess.
Yeah, because now we're in Avengers disassembled.
Yeah.
So this is Brian Michael Bendis.
Yes, and they retcon it that, you know, she's... just go with it.
Yep.
She tore the Vision in half. It wound up being Wanda's fault. Mm-hmm. Moving on. Following this incident, Jennifer loses her confidence in herself, like basically as a superheroine.
Oh, Jennifer.
She leaves the Avengers and that sad Hulk music plays as she walks out the door.
That's it.
Yep. And then we go into a storyline called Search for She-Hulk.
I know this storyline.
Yeah, so she basically runs away and hides in Idaho.
Yep.
And the Avengers finally find her.
Great potatoes.
And I guess. I've never been to Idaho. Sorry,
great,
Idaho.
Great potatoes.
The Avengers finally find her, and then She-Hulk and Hulk fight for the first time. They throw down, and they destroy most of a city called Bone, Idaho. I cannot confirm nor deny whether it is a real place.
Okay.
Google wouldn't tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a result of this, she spends a lot of time in Bone, Idaho, rebuilding it and regaining her confidence. It's actually like a really sweet kind of character building moment that we get for her.
Mm-hmm.
She's also able to fully return to her green form by the time she's forgiven herself and moved past this incident.
Oh, that's nice.
And it's also helped by Doc Samson's Gamma Charger.
Oh, Leonard Samson, basically the
doctor of the Hulk universe.
Yeah.
Scientist guy. So he has this Gamma Charger. He kind of replaces some of the rays that she lost to Jack of Hearts, and she's green again.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will let you know, there is a Bone, Idaho.
Well, hello. If anyone out there is listening in Bone, Idaho, mm-hmm. I'm real sorry that the Hulks destroyed your home.
Yep.
So now we're up to about 2004.
According to Wikipedia, the population in 2006 was only 2 people.
Oh, for reals?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, well then, I hope your house didn't get destroyed.
just
I wonder if that's like, if I wonder whoever wrote it, I wonder if that's a joke.
I don't know. It could be.
That's funny.
Yep.
That's really funny.
Bone, Idaho. Let's make sure that the 2 people in Bone, Idaho are actually listening to this podcast. Help us out there, listeners.
Okay.
Search down the people that live in Bone, Idaho before they're killed by the Savage She-Hulk again.
Yeah. And her cousin.
And her cousin.
So now, like I said, now we're up to about 2004.
Got it.
As far as like publication history uh-huh. goes. And we come to a storyline called Single Green Female.
Oh,
which, if that doesn't sound like a sitcom, I don't know what
does. Oh, is it the Dan Slott run?
This is written by Dan Slott,
yeah.
And it's drawn by Juan Bobillo.
Sure.
That guy. I don't speak Spanish, guys.
That guy.
He draws beautiful ladies.
I've heard
beautiful
this is a great run
ladies.
As well.
It is. Mm-hmm. It focuses a lot more on Jennifer as a lawyer and her being intelligent as opposed to the She-Hulk as the Hulk analog.
Got it.
The female analog. And Dan Slott's run is basically has redefined her into the character that we know today.
Uh-huh.
And it takes a lot of the things that were sexualized about her and removes that, and it shapes her into the Hulk with the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have Bruce Banner, and we have him hulking out and roiding out a lot. So I think this is what really makes her special, is that she, in her Hulk form, can retain her intelligence no matter what, like throughout her entire history. She's always been the smart Hulk.
Yep.
And this really cements that. And I think that's super, super cool. And you basically...
Although I think this series, if I remember the series right, is the start of Jennifer...
She starts sleeping around.
Sleeping with yep. every hero in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. We're going to talk more about that later.
Okay, cool. We'll get there.
And if anyone has read the recent Charles Soule run that we'll just touch on in a little bit, that also very much focuses on her new practice. So you don't get that without this Dan Slott run.
Nope.
So that's really cool. And thank you, Dan Slott.
Yay.
The series by Dan Slott culminates in Jennifer embracing both of her forms, which exponentially increases her power as She-Hulk. And it puts her physically on par with her cousin.
So finally.
She's just as strong.
Finally.
So 24 years later, we finally have equality among the Hulks.
Hey, kids, that should just tell you that no matter how long that highway is, you should just walk it with sad music. Just walk it. You'll get there.
But you know what you can do that would take the sad music away and make you really, really happy?
What, you mean like something that could do that would actually let us afford the sad music that could take it all away?
Yes, exactly.
I'm betting that you could go to patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N, and give us the support to keep this podcast going. We want to thank all our patrons over there because of their support. We're able to do issues like She-Hulk and review Secret Wars and do a lot of stuff like that. And we have a lot of great perks where you can get like $1 where we can just shout out your name on Twitter flamboyantly, or $15 a month where we give you a Geek History Lesson cup.
No way.
And every 6 months we send you the exclusive Geek History Lesson tea.
No way.
Which I've been told by several people is quite delicious.
It is. I have had it.
Yes. So patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. We don't charge by the episode. We just charge by the month.
So you're paying 25 cents an episode. If it's five weeks in the month, yeah, I don't even know how much you're paying.
I've had some people have ask me too. Does a dollar help?
Every dollar helps.
A dollar makes a huge, huge difference. And if you look on the side, there's some goals. Like if we ever get to the $1,000 a month, we'll live stream Geek History Lesson.
Oh my goodness.
That'd be insane, right?
We'll have to wear cool t-shirts.
I know, all the time. I'd actually have to shave and wear clothes.
You wouldn't shave. Wait.
Nope.
Wear clothes.
Yep. I'm like a savage She-Hulk over here.
I guess so. Excuse me for coughing.
Thank you all to the Patreons that keep this going. And now back to the She-Hulk.
With a storyline called Civil War.
Ah.
We kind of mentioned before. Civil War, basically the government comes out and says that you have to register if you're a super person.
And Iron Man's like, yes, register. And Captain America's like, no.
And Jennifer comes down on the side of pro-registration because she's already been out as She-Hulk. She has a law practice. People know who she is, nowhere to hide.
No secret identity.
And she also files a lawsuit against Peter Parker for fraud on behalf of J. Jonah Jameson and the Daily Bugle, because he was her father-in-law at the time. Later on in a story called Civil War Frontline, not as good as Civil War, she's also the lawyer defending Speedball.
Got it.
And those are her two biggest contributions.
Speedball is the member of the New Warriors who causes the accident that sets off the Super Rare Registration Act. He accidentally attacks a supervillain that blows up a school.
And he is who Jason thinks Martin Freeman's going to play.
Nope, not at all. I just a joke that I made on Twitter.
People liked it, though.
Yep.
As a result of the Registration Act, she is drafted into S.H.I.E.L.D.
Hey.
And she becomes a member of the Initiative in the Hulkbusters. These two teams are basically responsible.
What's the Initiative?
They're basically responsible for battling various foes of the Hulk. And her involvement with, like, that's really all you need to know about them.
No, well, the Initiative is a cool Marvel idea that Marvel never took advantage of. And it was the idea by Mark Miller that after Civil War, that every state should have a superhero team.
Oh, yes.
And that was called the Initiative. And they kind of ignored it.
Kind of bungled it.
Even though it would have been such a cool team. And I had the idea for the Kansas team. And it was so cool.
It was. I've heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we come to World War Hulk.
Oh, man.
Can you talk about World War Hulk really quick?
World War Hulk is the culmination of Planet Hulk, where the Hulk got shot into space because the Avengers were like, hey, man, you're destroying too many buildings. And he was like, well, I'm going to keep destroying buildings. And they put him on a plane. They launched him into space. He fought as a gladiator. He conquered that world. He got another spaceship. And he was like, you know what? I'm going to go back and attack those guys that put me on a spaceship and maybe fight as a gladiator.
Yes. So Tony Stark, during this run, and most of this takes place in her title. It doesn't actually take place in the World War Hulk title, but
like
that was the big event at the time.
A tie-in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tony Stark views Jennifer as a threat because, as far as anyone knows, she's the only one who still maybe knows where the Hulk is or might have been receiving messages from him.
Interesting.
She wasn't.
Why would he think that? That's weird.
I didn't write it, okay?
Tony.
And so to take her down a peg, he injects her with SPIN tech. SPIN is superpower inhibiting nanobots.
Tony.
And this keeps her in her human form.
Tony's a dick.
West Side Story, right here on Geek History Lesson. And this basically pits her against Tony as a lawyer. And it keeps the trend of the Hulks and the Iron Mans fighting because they clash a lot. Because Iron Man, even when it's Rhodey, is a very cerebral, intelligent character. And the Hulks, even when it's Jennifer, who's very smart, are very much brute force.
You know where that comes from, right?
No.
Originally, way back in the day, in the original, when the Iron Man was introduced and Hulk was introduced, a lot of times Iron Man was and Hulk were in the same story. The Iron Man was the first story, Hulk was the backup.
Oh, interesting.
Yep.
And there's a quote that Jennifer says to him because she threatens to take him down in court. And she says, I'm glad you turned me back into a human, because She-Hulk would have pummeled you. I'm going to destroy your life.
Oh, you take him down, Jennifer.
Yeah.
But actually, all you have to do is just, like, you know, put a martini glass, like, right in front of him, and he'll, you got him.
Well, maybe he's got a great sponsor.
No.
I mean, Jarvis is awesome.
You know how many times Tony has fell off the wagon? Like, 17.
Every time?
Like, every time there's a writer is like, oh, let's make Tony drunk again.
I mean, like, in Superior Iron Man?
Yep.
So Jennifer does sue Tony Stark for stealing her superpowers.
That's right.
I don't know how you steal, how you sue someone for stealing your superpowers.
With lots of documents.
I guess. But her work is interrupted and the trial falls apart because she's called to give testimony in another trial.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
And this storyline is pretty tertiary and really not important at all, except that the lawyer who is questioning her publicly slut shames her and has her admit to all the people in the Marvel U that she slept with.
Is it a lawyer that we know?
I didn't know who the lawyer was.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if it was Matt Murdock.
And it's not Matt Murdock. Oh, no. We're only going to talk about Matt Murdock once, and it's not for quite a while yet.
He fights her in court. I know.
He does, yes.
And he wins.
We're not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And this story received a lot of backlash from readers. I mean,
well, of course.
I can't freaking imagine why. Especially because by this point, like, we'd had the Dan Slott run. So she was looked at as a character who was kind of beyond all this nonsense.
All right. Let me devil's, there's no devil's advocate to this.
I was really excited for you to be like, well, maybe like.
No. This is just kind
nonsense.
It's kind of nonsense bad writing.
Yeah.
Is really what it is. I hate to say it, but it is.
Yes. And so the She-Hulk series, the ongoing series that was running concurrently with the World War Hulk, I swear this is the last time we're going to talk about it.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. Was also widely criticized in addition for the slut-shaming nonsense.
Wow.
For mixing continuity and being wildly inaccurate and inconsistent.
All right.
Events that were happening in World War Hulk that Jennifer would appear in would not line up with the timeline in her She-Hulk series.
You know, I also don't think that was a problem with just her title. I think there was a problem at the time with a lot of Marvel titles.
Probably.
There was a ways there when Marvel like got out of sync with a lot of their books, and you're kind of when does this happen after this and that, and yeah.
So she was a victim of all of that.
Okay.
Following the events of World War Hulk and all the SPIN tech nanobot nonsense, she appears to have been permanently depowered. And she does this really weird space storyline. She travels to an alternate unknown dimension called the Alpha Universe.
Oh, God.
And has her powers restored by Reed Richards.
In this alternate universe.
Yeah, and she hulks out too much. And it's basically just a clusterfuck that happened.
Let's just say that she got
her powers back.
All right,
thanks to Reed.
All right, to an alternate universe Reed.
Yeah, an alternate universe Reed, yeah.
Oh,
the
Lord
Alpha
Lord.
Reed. And she becomes Alpha She-Hulk for like a second.
Wow, that sounds ridiculous and convoluted.
Yeah. Following that, her solo series ends. She appears in several storylines, most notably probably Secret Invasion. She's a secondary character in Secret Invasion. Not a big deal. Hardly worth mentioning.
She's mainly a secondary character a lot. I hate to say that,
but she's had a lot of solo series, though, compared to some other female heroines that we've covered. Mm-hmm. Like, she pretty consistently has her own title.
Yep.
And basically, she does not get another solo title until All New Marvel Now.
Written by Charles Soule.
With cover art by Kevin Wada and art by Javier Pulido.
Pulido. Charles Soule, who in real life is a lawyer.
Yep.
I know, made this a very lawyerly series.
Yes.
I have not read it, but I've only read like one issue of it.
I read several issues. It's quite good.
It's very legalese, I've been told. Is that true?
It is very legalese, and if that's not your jam, like if you're looking for the brute force Hulk, it's not your story.
Yeah, it's a lawyer book, basically.
Yeah, and it's talky.
Okay.
Matt Murdock does appear in it.
Oh, yes, he does. Mr. Daredevil himself, the best lawyer in the Marvel Universe.
Yes, it also deals with her balancing the adventures that she's having as a member of the Fantastic Four in the Future Foundation.
Yeah, because she was part of the FF this time.
The best part about her being in the Future Foundation is that the Molloid kids really, really love her, and they're like invested in her love life, and they follow her around because they used to be really fond of Ben, and since he's in space now, they kind of glom onto her. It's so amazing.
Yeah, because she starts dating Wyatt Wingfoot, who is an old Fantastic Four character, and they start thinking that Wyatt Wingfoot is not worthy of the Jennifer.
Oh my god, I love them so much.
And the Molloids are basically the students of they're the weird
underground.
They're part of the Mole Man's army who had become students and broke off from the Mole Man.
And one of them is inexplicably transgendered. It's amazing.
And one of them is a head in a jar.
Yeah, I love it. Mm-hmm. also, during this run, Charles Soule has Jennifer start her own law firm, and that's really, really important. So that gives her, I think, that and the new boyfriend and being a member of two new teams, that's pretty great stakes. That's a lot to have to juggle with.
Yep.
Despite the fact that the She-Hulk, all new Marvel Now She-Hulk, sold better than Black Widow and Captain Marvel, it was still canceled after 12 issues.
Seriously?
Yep. And both of those titles are still in print.
Really? Black Widow is still in print?
Oh, yes it is. I work at a comic book store.
Oh, and it has better numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What the F?
Mm-hmm.
Just goes to show you what happens if an editor doesn't like your book, and an editor doesn't like your book, and it's going to get canceled.
Mm-hmm. And now Jennifer is leading A-Force.
Yay.
A-Force was a series. I'm going to talk about it super briefly because it just came out like a couple months ago, last month, not that long ago. A-Force was lauded as this female Avengers book.
Mm-hmm.
She was going to lead it. That was kind of cool. It's written by G. Willow Wilson and Marguerite Bennett. It's actually just part of Secret Wars. So it's a tie-in book that's going to have no consequence and not exist when Secret Wars is over. I read the first issue. G. Willow Wilson basically writes the narration and sets the scene for you, and Marguerite Bennett writes the dialogue. If you're into Marguerite Bennett, it's a great book for you. I'm not. It's not a great book for me. It's basically a vehicle to have all the characters bitch at each other.
Oh.
And to have Jennifer, because Doom is in control, she makes a decision based on the fact that she, as the leader of Arcadia, which is a...
Let's back up. Okay, before we drop into this holy... cluster that is the new Secret Wars,
yeah.
Really quickly, basically the universe, the Marvel universe ends.
Yes.
And Doom somehow sucked all the power away from the Beyonder and was able to like save snippets of the multiverse,
yes.
Pieces, and he pieced them together, like pieces from different worlds, and mm-hmm. made it the Battle World. And Arcadia is like an island that's part of this Battle World.
It's basically Thymascara.
Yep.
Because it's defended all by really strong women, which, again, is I'm good with that idea. I'm just not happy with the execution. So she makes a decision based on the fact that as the guardian of Arcadia, the Countess, she has to listen to what Doom tells her to do. And then everyone else on A-Force is like, fuck you for making that decision. And they all just fight.
Does she wear a Fantastic Four uniform during it?
Yes, she does.
See, so
which is a cool uniform.
It is. And she looks great in it. And it gives you wonder, is this 1980s? Jennifer.
It could be. It also has the original, Jessica Drew is in her original Spider-Woman costume.
There you go, see?
But it has characters like Nico, who is from the Young Avengers, and America Chavez, who is from
the later incarnation of the Young Avengers. Here's the thing about the new Secret Wars is that, like, I've read a bunch of them, and there's no indication.
It's cherry picking.
Who is who. Yeah, so those characters, doesn't matter what time period you're from.
Yeah.
You know.
So right now she does not have an ongoing series, but she's featured pretty prominently in a couple titles in the Secret Wars event, and that is your current
Jennifer. And that's where we
are. Walters.
And we'll see how Secret Wars affects her and how if she can survive to the all-new, all-different Marvel.
I bet she gets a title next year.
You think?
Yep.
All right.
Nerd bet, $10.
Cool. Next, we move on to the recommended reading part of the podcast, where we tell you what you should read if you like She-Hulk.
Yes. I have two recommendations.
Got it.
I have not read them in full, but I have very much enjoyed both of them. Single Green Female is the first volume of Dan Slott's run.
Mm-hmm.
And then She-Hulk, all new Marvel now, She-Hulk Volume 1, Law and Disorder, is the Charles Soule run.
Mm-hmm.
I really like She-Hulk when she is smart. I like that makes that unique. It makes her different from the Hulk. So that's where I'm coming from. If you're looking for more of the fighty-fighty stuff, there's also great books, but these are my recommendations.
I'm going to recommend the John Byrne Fantastic Four run that she was on the team for 12 issues. Because, to be honest with you, it really made the team awesome when there were two women on it. And it wasn't bad.
That's so nice.
And it really changed it. You can find it in, they have collected the John Byrne in Omnibuy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not certain which volume is in it because John Byrne wrote Fantastic Four for like 100 issues, like forever. I know they also have done Fantastic Four Visionaries, and those are trade paperback versions of it.
Oh, yes.
And she's in some of those, the John Byrne. But just look for the John Byrne run. You'll see her. She's on the cover. The first issue she joined, like, she's on the cover, and they make a big deal about
it. That is super cool. I want to go read those.
Yeah, they're all on Comixology, too.
And probably
they might,
on Marvel Unlimited.
They might be on the Marvel app, yeah.
Yeah. So let's move into discussion, shall we?
Before the discussion, by the way, you said you had never read that. If you are ever interested in the Fantastic Four,
mm-hmm.
you are doing yourself a disservice to not read the John Byrne run in the 1980s. It's dated, yes.
But there's a lot of good stuff there.
He changed so much of the team that bringing She-Hulk was one of those changes. Because before then, nobody had ever done that.
Yeah.
So there you go. Now discussion.
Cool. Discussion. Do you think, Jason,
okay,
that there is room for Jennifer's dual nature? Is there room for her as the lawyer? Is there room for her as the Hulk? Or should writers focus more on one side or the other in their storytelling?
That's tough.
I know. Because I don't think it's been, I don't think the balance has been done.
Nope, not well.
Well, I think there's been really solid attempts at it. But I think when you pick one or the other, that's where the really special stuff comes from. But do you think that you can do both?
No. To be honest with you, no. I don't think you can. I think if you make her all about the She-Hulk, then that's all she's going to be. If you make her about the lawyer, then that's all she's going to be. Mm-hmm. I think it doesn't make sense. And one, it was like kind of referenced in the Mark Waid Daredevil run when everybody found out that Matt Murdock was Daredevil, that they were like, well, wait a minute. It's not quite legal for you to go out there and punch somebody in the face and then come in here as an officer of the court and defend people. It's not quite legal. And so I don't think it should be legal for her as well. Like, you're either going to be a lawyer, Jennifer, or you're going to be a superhero. You can't be both. I'm sorry. But it's the same thing as, like, you wouldn't expect...
Oh, I hit my mic. I'm so worked up.
No worries. You wouldn't expect a Marvel superhero to be a police officer and a hero as well. Like, they can't...
Punisher is. Sort of.
No. Punisher was only a cop in the Ultimate Universe.
He is in Spider-Gwen right now.
Oh. Well, I haven't read that. but he's also a vigilante?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Well, see. Okay, that's
you should read Spider-Gwen.
I should. That's a I'm waiting for the trade. That's a violation of like, because you're an officer. You're an officer.
No,
of the law.
I totally agree.
You're a vigilante.
You're going around the law. Yeah.
Yeah. You're a hypocrite.
Are you saying that Dick Grayson is a hypocrite?
Little bit. Yeah.
That is it for the discussion.
Yay!
Yay!
And now to the last part of the lesson, the teaching tweet, where Ashley, Professor Ashley, will sum up her lesson in 140 characters or less. You don't have to use them all.
It's less.
Okay.
I used them all last time.
All right.
Jennifer Walters. They call her She-Hulk, but I'd like to see her more like Matt Murdock. Tell me I'm wrong.
So you want to see her blind and wearing red pajamas.
And being a man bow. Yes.
Yeah.
I just think that Matt Murdock they've done a much better job balancing his like you were saying earlier, his lawyerly aspects and his superheroing aspects. And I think that if you looked at Jennifer from that perspective, as opposed to being a Hulk analog, it would make for better storytelling.
True. True. Matt Murdock's also not as powerful as She-Hulk, but
he's also hotter than She-Hulk.
Yeah, he's way hotter.
Tweet doesn't work if you have to explain it, Ashley.
There you go. Well, that was a great lesson. Thank you so much, Professor Ashley, for letting me enter the Mind University to learn all about the Green Savage and Sensational and all new, all different, and all new now She-Hulk.
Well, I need you for every time I talk about the Fantastic Four.
I love it. I could talk about the Fantastic Four. By the way, listeners, in the future, you might know that there is a Fantastic Four movie that is soon to be released. And there might be a Fantastic Four two-part lesson that's on the way.
Spoilers!
Yeah, I know. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of She-Hulk, the Sensational. Was this episode sensational?
You tell me.
I like that, actually.
I think it was more savage.
I'm going to say sensational.
Great.
As always, you can please go over to iTunes and Stitcher and download and subscribe to the podcast and give us a rating and a review because it helps other listeners find this podcast just like you. We have had an amazing month. This is our highest downloaded month ever.
Yay!
And we want to keep going. Keep going and hit this year strong. In the year strong, we just want to keep on climbing up. It's amazing when we look out in the classroom of the Mind University and we see all these new faces.
They're all beautiful.
And some of them look great in red tights.
So many colors and shapes and sizes.
Ashley, where can they find you and us on the social media?
They can find us on facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, geekhistorylesson.com.
Those are two different places, right?
Yes.
You kind of smash them together. I don't know.
facebook.com/geekhistorylesson.
And?
Pause. geekhistorylesson.com.
Well done.
Pause. You can find me on Twitter at Ashley V. Robinson and all the normal Anglo spelling. And you can find Jason where?
On Twitter at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N, and at youtube.com/Jawin, the same spelling, where you can find Geek History Lesson tie-ins and all kinds of videos. And also, you can go to our Facebook and geekhistorylesson.com, and you can suggest future lessons of who you want to see and all this stuff like that. Like, if you want to cover the Hulk. We've never done the Hulk.
We haven't.
We could do the Hulk in the future. I'm just saying. That's it for this lesson. Ashley, any final thoughts on the sensational and sometimes savage She-Hulk?
If nothing else, go look at the covers that Kevin Wada did for the Charles Soule run because they're beautiful.
Are they good? Are they painted?
Yeah, they're stunning.
Ah.
They're so beautiful.
And if nothing else, go check out the John Byrne drawn. Oh, man. John Byrne, his pencil lines. So good.
Just because he drew Mullet Superman.
He never drew Mullet
Superman. Oh, I thought he drew Mullet Superman.
No, that's a wrong lesson.
Sorry, John
Incorrect.
Byrne.
D minus. And
fired.
Now on
lost
that,
my tenure.
We have to end the geek history lesson on She-Hulk before we talk more about Mullet.
She-Hulk, She-Hulk, She-Hulk.
I'm Jason Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And Professor Savage Ashley, please, will you please sensationally close out this podcast?
Class is dismissed. And you're all subpoenaed. She-Hulk smash!